Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder that we do what we do because life and truth matter. A lot of you hanging on. First up, Jane in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Jay.
Yes, good afternoon, Hank. I just have a question. It seems to me that we spend a lot of time trying to disprove evolution and prove the facts that what is written in the Bible is true. My question is this: how much should we concentrate on trying to prove the proof that may lie according to the Bible versus what the Bible describes as just having faith? And so I come to kind of thinking about the scene where Simon asks Jesus, you know, can I see? And then he shows his hand and Jesus says, oh, you believe because you have seen. Versus, you know, the Bible tells us the promise to Abraham in that all his children will be saved by faith. So how do you tell an unbeliever that there's so much that you can kind of disclose on look at where the Bible shows and look at some of the artifacts or some of the things that have happened in the past? But how do you let someone know that eventually you have to let go of trying to prove God, and then you just have to allow your heart to have faith? Like, that's my question.
Well, I don't think that Christian faith ever calls us to blind faith, but rather faith in evidence. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 1 talks about God's eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I myself benefited greatly in coming to faith in Christ by looking at the evidences for the historic Christian faith. And I think that these evidences are not only important in terms of pre-evangelism, using your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity to share the grace and goodness of God, but also as post-evangelism, in the sense that when the winds of doubt beat upon your house of faith, you can cling to those pillars and posts. God created the universe, and Jesus Christ is God and demonstrated that He is God through the immutable fact of resurrection, and the Bible is a reliable authority for faith and practice. So we're not called to blind faith, we're called to faith and evidence. And I think also, as Christians, we need to be able to cast down the pretensions that set themselves up against a biblical worldview. If, for example, there is no God, if all is merely methodological naturalism, then what you end up with is no free choice. Everything is fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics. There's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. There's no purpose to life. There's no purpose to history. So these are very, very crucial issues. And in a post-truth culture, I think it's important for Christians to be able to communicate not only what they believe, but why they believe what they believe, and then in whom they have believed. In other words, give a good apologetic for the nature of God in whom we have cast our hope. Because even God is being vilified in increasingly strident terms in our culture.
Right, right. So having faith based on certain amount of proof does not nullify your faith that God may see in a person then?
No, not at all. Again, we're not called to blind faith. We're called to faith and evidence. But the faith that we have as believers is a channel of living trust between a person and their God. I've often said faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So when we place our faith in God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, that is well-placed faith. For example, on the other side, if you had a concept of God as a law, a capricious kind of a God, that would be a faith that is not well-placed. It would be a faith that is rooted in, quite frankly, nonsense, because Muhammad essentially borrowed a little bit from Christianity, a little bit from Judaism, a little bit from paganism, and he mixed it up in this deadly elixir. He didn't understand any one of the belief systems all that well. And so you have this hodgepodge that is extraordinarily dangerous. That's why, for example, a Muslim will tell you that if you're a Christian and you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've committed the unforgivable sin of shirk. Why? Because Allah believes that the idea of Son of God is rife with the idea of sexual procreation, doesn't understand the biblical idea of special relationship. So again, it does make a tremendous amount of difference. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mark next, who is listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. First of all, I want to thank you for your program. I actually came out of Mormonism after over 35 years, and I was a bishop in the Mormon Church, and now I came to Christ about 2.5 years ago.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. What a testimony.
And now the Lord is, and when you talk about Muhammad in Islam, it's almost parallel to Mormonism.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways. There's just... tweaked a lot better to look like it fits into our culture here, right? And I did serve a Mormon mission, and actually I heard you on the radio years before, and I used to spit bullets and you said things about the Mormon Church, and now look at me. So, but anyhow, I'm now working, I work full time, but I'm working on online on a pastor on a theology degree, and then my question is: after I finish it, because the Lord is leading me in the direction of Christian apologetics, and I need to would like to know your recommendation. Of course, I'll have to do it online to get my master's, but where would you recommend? I've been told Biola University is a good one.
Yeah, it is. They have a Master of Arts degree in Christian apologetics. So Biola is very, very good. In fact, my second oldest daughter and my son-in-law, who's now a professor at the Air Force Academy, they met at Biola. Also, Southern Evangelical Seminary, right here in Charlotte. They have a distance education program. Faith International University in Tacoma, Washington. So there are a number of really good options.
Okay. I only have another 2 years to get my my undergrad, and then I'm going to work on the master's. And probably by that time, I'll be ready to retire out of my career. And I guess we're living longer, so I guess that's another career ahead of me.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes I say tongue-in-cheek to some of the guys that I know that are my age that are retired, and they're wondering why I'm not retired. And I say, well, I'm just starting my career. Yeah, and in a lot of ways, that's exactly what I believe. If the Lord gives me health and strength, I want to serve him with vigor for another 20 or 25 or maybe even 30 years. But God's in control of all of that. You know, one of the things that's really cool is the older you get, the more you have to draw from and the more useful you are in God's service. And so the whole idea of retiring is not even in my vocabulary. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk next to Jose, listening in Riverside, California. Hi, Jose.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, where Paul is addressing the spiritual and the natural man. And verse 15 was really interesting as I read it. It reads, "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." And I just wanted to hear what you thought about where it says he is rightly judged by no one. What does that really mean?
Yeah, I think the context is important here because we're speaking not in words which are man's wisdom, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Conversely, Paul is saying that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. In other words, it's not that he cannot be judged, but he cannot rightly be judged. He cannot be judged in right fashion. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do you judge the mind of Christ when it is properly communicated? Paul there is explaining why it is that many people do not apprehend real wisdom. That kind of wisdom requires the mind of Christ and is only found in a mature Christian. But the Corinthians were, of course, as we know, very, very worldly. They were immature believers who were struggling because of their immaturity. So they did not have the mind of Christ. Coming up to station break, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Men broadcast. Stay tuned.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Daniel, listening in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. My question is, when is God okay with divorce?
I don't think God is ever okay with divorce. I mean, if you look at the scriptures, Malachi chapter 2, God explicitly says, I hate divorce. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, are you married? Do not seek a divorce. However, as Paul points out, if an unbelieving spouse leaves, the other party is not bound in that circumstance. If, however, the unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, the other party must not get a divorce. So the idea is that we demonstrate in our relationships, whatever they may be, true reconciliation. And so we always seek that reconciliation. Now, obviously, reconciliation takes two parties. It takes someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. If that happens, then you can have reconciliation. But in all of our relationships, we should work towards reconciliation.
Okay. What about, like, say a husband is beating his wife every day?
Well, I think that it's really important that if you're in a situation where you're being physically violated and you're in physical danger, that you remove yourself from that circumstance. And so there are certainly these kinds of behaviors that could rise to the level of desertion, and therefore divorce may be permitted. But again, the ultimate is always from the perspective of a Christian person to seek reconciliation where it is possible. And so we need to look at that first and foremost, because marriage is not only about psychophysical pleasure. It is not only about propagation, but it's parabolic. It is a parable of Christ and the church. And as Christ loved the church, so a husband must love his wife and vice versa, and always seek the best for that other person. We have an article in the Christian Research Journal which goes into a great deal of depth on biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage. I highly recommend it. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brady, who's listening in Turlock, California. Hi, Brady.
Hi, sir. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. One thing that, as I've been reading the scriptures, I've noticed the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, and I'm pretty sure that based on the burning bush and other areas, we can realize that that's Jesus. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but my question was, the angel of the Lord in the New Testament, I don't believe is Jesus, because it was the angel of the Lord has been referenced to after his birth, and in Luke, I believe, the angel of the Lord one time is called Gabriel. So what is the language difference in the two different contexts of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and what your opinion on who the angel of the Lord might be in the New and Old?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You have correctly communicated in the prologue to your question the answer to the question. The angel of Yahweh in the Old Testament is most certainly a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. I think you're also correct in making the distinction in the New Testament after Christ has become Theanthropos, the God-man, and now does not take on temporary physical appearance, but is always physical. He's always God in flesh. And so exactly what you have said is correct. I think it's important for us to realize as we read the Old Testament that we not only have Christophanies, which is the appearance of the angel of the Lord, the angel of Yahweh, but you also have Theophanies, the appearance of God the Father in flesh, or the appearance of God the Father as a man. You also have Angelophanies. Remember, the Lord and two angels on the plains of Mamre appeared to Abraham. So you do have these pre-incarnate appearances of Christ, appearances of Yahweh, the Father, and you also have appearances of angels in the Old Testament, but this is not repeated in the New Testament. So good for you. Fantastic that you have discerned all of that correctly. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Marty, listening in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Hank. For several years, I've been dealing with cancer, lost a kidney, and then went through treatment, and for about a year was clear, and recently been re-diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and dealing with that. But in that, of course, I have well-meaning friends, family, believers that are kind of frantically look for answers, but among them always get the word of faith. Individuals somehow have bought into the idea that through our words we create our circumstances and things of that nature, but inherently there's the suggestion that somehow our faith is lacking, and if we could only muster it up somehow, surely we wouldn't have this problem. But I have a friend listening that I was hoping that maybe just address the damage that's done to families, where the idea, like, if you only pray for your 5-year-old long and hard enough, you know, they're surely to be healed.
Yeah, the damage is great, and you are feeling the full brunt of that because you're not only suffering from stage 4 cancer, but in the meantime, you're being told that the reason you have what you have is because you have expressed words of fear as opposed to expressing words of faith. And that is the last thing you need in your circumstance. And the reality is we live in a fallen world. It is a broken world. We're all going to die of our last disease. The death rate is 1 per person. And so you're going to make it, I'm going to make it. And when we do is in God's sovereign hand. And we thank him that not a hair falls from our head, even through chemotherapy, that he does not know about and care about. And so to add this kind of burden to someone in your circumstance is reprehensible. And I pray that people might get an understanding that faith is not a force. Words are not the containers of the force. It is not through the force of faith that we create our own reality. That's New Thought metaphysics. That's not biblical theology. As I said to an earlier caller, faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God. And faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So if we place our faith in God, it is well placed. And we trust him even though we don't understand. And that's really where we want to be, trusting in the Lord in the midst of our circumstances. God doesn't necessarily answer the why question, but he's teaching you something in the midst of your whys. And the paramount thing that we're being taught is to trust him. Nothing passes through your life before it first passes through the filter of his love. So your sickness is not a matter of lack of faith. Your sickness is a function of living in a fallen world. And so while you are in the flesh, what you are called to do is be faithful and be fruitful. Use the testimony of your life and your lips for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. And I, Marty, very much pray that God will heal you and use you as a testimony of his grace. And God can certainly do that. But the fact of the matter is, even if he heals you of this, you'll die of something else if you die before the time that the Lord returns. So we're all going to die. And what we're looking forward to and what gives us hope is that we're going to be resurrected. This body that's now mortal and broken is going to be immortal and perfect. And that's what we look forward to. Now, easy to say when you're not going through what you're going through, but you're living a reality. And that reality is a reality that God cares about. I remember a book that Johnny Erickson Tata wrote. It was called When God Weeps. He cares about your infirmity. And I think that in itself is the ultimate solace, that God knows and that he cares. And I think often about how important it is that when you are sick, you go to Psalm 139, which says that before a word even is on our tongue, the Lord knows it completely, and that he's hemmed us in behind and before, and that he's laid his hand upon us. That kind of knowledge is too wonderful for us, too lofty for us to attain. And so we know that all the days ordained for you, as Psalm 139 puts it, have been written in his book before even one of them comes to be. And as a follower of Christ, he loves you. And while you are in the flesh, your life is meaningful and it counts for eternal purposes.
Well said. I appreciate that very much. Thank you for your time, Hank.
You got it. Let me pray for you quickly. Father, thank you for Marty. Oh, Lord, sustain him by your grace. Place your eternal hand upon him. And Lord, may he sense your presence and know that he is the beloved of the Lord. Oh, Lord, may he be a testimony to your grace. Use him for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom, and give him the peace that passes all understanding. We pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. We'll be thinking about you, Marty.
And thank you for your ministry, Hank. Keep up the good work.
You got it, my brother. Anything we can do, let us know. Any resources, whatever you need, just let us know. We're there for you. We are coming to the end of the broadcast. You can hear from the music. Do remember that this ministry is a direct function of those standing with us prayerfully and financially. Without your support, we cannot do what we do. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.